Amen. Well, it's great to be back here. It's good to see all your smiling faces today and yesterday. Just want to say thank you very much to Mrs. Jimenez, Pastor Jimenez, for having us come and having me preach. And the hospitality has been great, as always. And at our church, we always try to emulate that hospitality. And it was a great thing that Pastor passed on to me. And I like to be hospitable, too. And this is a great church, of course. And you guys are all feel like family to me. And so it's always great to be back here. Just want, before I start preaching, I just want to kind of give you a little state of the union for our church up north. You guys had a big part in planting, so a major part, obviously. But last Sunday, we had 105 in church, so our church is doing really well attendance-wise. We got rid of the old pews, so if you ever come back to visit, it's more like a new IFB. We're so new IFB, we have chairs now. So anyway, and we also, so we planted two churches last year, one in Spokane, Washington. We're about to have the one-year anniversary for it, actually, and it's doing great. And also, we planted a church in Hawaii, which is doing really well also. And so, anytime you got a chance to go visit one of those churches, of course, our church up in north in Canada is doing well also. So we finally caught up with Pastor Jimenez on church plants, so I was happy for that. So anyway, he likes to tease me and say, well, you know, Pastor Thompson, just take any church. But he's got four church plants too, so you can't make fun of me. All right, so we had about 2,000 saved last year through our ministry and many, many baptisms. So I just thank you so much for allowing me to preach tonight, and it's a pleasure to be here. So let's focus in tonight on Matthew chapter 24, verse number 43. Now, I'm not preaching about the rapture tonight. I'm not preaching about the end times tonight. What I'm preaching about is being the head of the household, the head of the household. And you're like, Pastor Thompson, what are you talking about? Where are you getting this from? Well, look at verse number 43. It says, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And so I just want to teach a principle from this verse. Obviously, in the context, it's talking about the end times. If you would have been, if you would watch, you would know, you wouldn't be caught by surprise when the rapture comes. But I think you can apply this, because that word goodman right there actually means the male head of the house. And so Jesus uses this little parable, this little dark saying, to kind of get our attention to teach us the principle that we should be watching for him. But, you know, as the head of a household, we should be watching our houses too, men. And so this sermon is directed towards men. But obviously, when I preach, I like to use some buckshot technology, where I'll try to just scatter shotgun everybody and make sure everybody gets a good dose of, and make it apply to them also. Because, you know, behind every good man, there's a good woman, right? And there's, you know, every good man, you know, God wants us to raise our families and he wants us to have strong families. And unfortunately, in this country, we have a lot of dysfunctional families. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of who has a dysfunctional family in here, but I'll raise mine, okay? So one of the things that I purposed in having a Christian home is that I wanted to make sure that my family didn't turn out as dysfunctional as my family was before me. And I want to make a difference. I think that we should turn the tide in this country as Christians. And as men, we need to be strong men. We need to be the heads of our households. And so that word goodman, like I said, means the male head of the house. Now, before I get into the preaching, maybe you're not a male head of the house. Maybe you're a single woman, or, you know, you're a child or whatever. But hey, you know, everybody has someone that's the head over them. Even the male head of the household has God as their head. It has Christ as their head, and God is the head of Christ, right? So, but ladies, if you're just like a single lady and you live by yourself, you know what? Christ could be the head of your home also. So this can all apply to everybody. I know that there's lots of different situations and lots of different things, but tonight I mainly want to focus on men being the head of the household. And, you know, there's a lot of different support positions that can be involved in that. So, and again, I understand this interpretation is, just a parable, but we can learn some principles from this. And let's look at, yeah, I already gave you the definition. So the goodman, so number one, point number one tonight is be a goodman. And a goodman, again, means the male head of a household, a.k.a. the boss of the home. And you know, in 2020, that's not a very popular saying. That's not a very popular teaching. We got a lot of feminists out there that want to take over the role of just, I don't even know what they want to be. You know, they're so weird, they don't know what they want. But you know, as Christians, we, as male heads of the houses, we need to be many different things. We need to wear many different hats. We have many different roles, but our main role is leading our family, leading our household, and making sure that the next generation gets the word of God and that our families after us grow up in a Christian home also. I want more than anything for my children to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and so the next generation can be fixed. You know, and all it takes is one generation to forget about God and for one generation to forget about teaching their children after them, and then it's ruined again. So I want to preach about this tonight. So what is the definition of good? So in that word good, men, there's the word good. And so the first definition of that would be having the qualities required for a particular role. So as a good man, you have to have the quality required for that role, which is to be a man, okay? And number two, that which is morally right or righteous. So you want to be two things as the good men of the house. You want to have the quality required to fulfill that particular role as the head of the household, and you also want to be morally right as the head of the household. So it's not going to do you any good if you're just, you know, coming home and kicking off your boots and drinking a beer and, you know, don't worry about it, kids, it's okay, and, you know, just acting like, you know, you're going to lose your family. Your house is going to be suffered to be broken up. And if you're not watching and paying attention to what your kids are doing, you're not watching and paying attention to what your wife's doing, you don't even spend time with your family, guess what? Your house is going to be suffered to be broken up. You're going to allow your house to be broken up, and look, it's going to be your fault because you weren't paying attention, because you weren't watching. So what is the thief in this analogy? Well, the thief is anything that can come in that you're not paying attention to that can break your house up, and then look, you could be the next dysfunctional family. There's a lot of Christians that let their families become dysfunctional. How about Lot? I mean, talk about dysfunctional. I mean, he puts the dis in dysfunctional, so I don't know. It's not fun to be dysfunctional. People say, you know, you put the fun in dysfunctional. There's nothing fun about being a dysfunctional family. It's actually really sad. So Christians tonight, Christian men in here that are listening to me tonight, you know, you need to be the spiritual head of your household, not just the breadwinner, the one that goes out. You know, it's not just your job just to only go and provide for your family. You have other responsibilities also. And one of those responsibilities is being the spiritual head of your house. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. We'll look in the Bible and see what it says there about being the spiritual head. Well, and Adam wasn't exactly being spiritual when he partook of the fruit that he wasn't supposed to partake of. But look at Genesis 3:16 says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." So God's plan is for the man to be the head of the household, right? He's to rule over the wife. And that's actually part of the curse. You're welcome, right? So, but, you know, and part of the curse for the ladies is the hard childbirth. You know, it hurts, right? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I could just see what it looks like when women give birth, and it looks like it hurts. So, but anyway, I'm sorry. ours is to work by the sweat of our face and to provide for our family, though, and that's not always easy either. So, but I'm not comparing it to childbirth, okay? Anyway, but, you know, men, as spiritual heads of your house, you need to decide what church to go to. That'd be a good spiritual thing to do, right? You decide what church you go to. Don't let your wife decide what church you go to. Don't let your children decide what church you go to. You decide what church you go to. And you know what? You should choose the best church that you can to take your children to. Now, obviously, you've got your kids in a good church today, and that's great. But don't get to that point where you're just like, well, you know, it's okay. We'll just go to the community church. They got more kids programs. That's wrong. Don't take your kid to some weak church. Because you know what? They're going to grow up watching Joyce Meyers after they get out of the house. You know, you want that? You want your kids watching Joyce Myers for their spiritual feeding? You know, she was wrong the moment she got up and said anything. So why would you want your kids listening to that? Because look, a lot of these churches, all they are is just fun centers, Chuck E. Cheese Baptist, or whatever, and they're not really giving your kids a spiritual thing. Look, this morning you heard a spiritual sermon. Amen. You know, I was having a hard time keeping up with all that Bible flipping this morning, and I was trying to give you guys a little bit of a break tonight, but I don't know if I'm going to do that or not for sure. But anyway, I do have some verses to go to, but you should make sure that also your family is reading the Bible. And, you know, as the spiritual head of your house, you should make sure that when you're at work, hey, mom's reading the Bible with the kids. You know how you want to make your kids smarter? Have them read the Bible. Amen. You know, what your kids will get smarter reading the Bible. They'll know how to pronounce words better. They'll know how to read better than most kids. But you know what, Dad? You need to make sure that they're reading the Bible. You need to make sure that your kids are reading their Bible. Your wife is reading her Bible. That's your job as a spiritual leader in the house. Teach your kids to pray. Do you get down at night with your kids and pray with them? You know, and that's one of the funnest things that I remember about when the kids were little is prayer time. And sometimes prayer time got a little bit crazy with the kids, you know, because they're praying for the goldfish and, you know, all the, you know, animals to be saved and just, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff that they come up with, you know, but it's cute, right? Like, well, I don't know if that's really God's will for all the animals to be saved, kids, but, you know, and so we would pray as a family family prayer time at night before we went to bed, and, you know, they never forgot how to pray. You know, but as a dad, if you don't do it, if you don't make it happen, it's not going to happen. You shouldn't be depending on your wife to make family prayer time. It should be you. And you set the spiritual standards for your home. What do you allow into your house? What kind of sermons are you letting your wife listen to while you're at work? You know, are you letting her listen to Benny Hinn? Whatever. Are you letting them watch, you know, sit there and watch Joyce Myers? Well, if you sit there and let her listen to Joyce Myers, you might come home to a liberal wife, right? You don't want that, do you? As the spiritual head of your house, you should be controlling what goes on spiritually in your house. And so the Christian male head of the household has a boss above him, and I already mentioned that, but look, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 3. This is the famous haircut passage, but that's not what I'm talking about. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." So Christ is the man's head, right? "And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." So we have an order in our home, a spiritual order. And you know what? None of us has actually ever seen God. If you believe you've seen God, then you might need to go check into a mental institution. Because you know what? God, no man's ever seen God the Father, ever. And you know what? Jesus went back to heaven. So if you know, the Apostle Paul said he was the last one to see him. So if you think you've seen Jesus, then you need to talk to the pastor after the service and get some counseling. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our head. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen the Father. But you know what? That means that he's our spiritual leader. So we believe in Christ by faith, and we take him as our spiritual leader. And you know what? A dad should have the same role in the house, not just a physical leader, not just one that goes and makes the money, but also someone that's a spiritual leader in the home. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And, you know, we need to be spiritual, man. You can't just come home and kick off your boots every night and just stop being spiritual. You have to be spiritual when you come home, you with little ones especially. You know, your kids want to spend time with you, but do you spend time with them doing anything spiritual? You know, don't you think you need to have a little bit of spirituality in your life? And yeah, I realize that we work a lot of hard hours, we work a lot of long hours, but you know what? Your kids need you. They need you to be spiritual, not just mom with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So as Christians, we have the mind of Christ. And you know what? It says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And you know what? We need to judge all things in our home. We need to judge what's going on spiritually in our home. And hey, if you think that the ship is going, is starting to sink a little bit, you need to do something to fix it. And as a good man of the house, it's not just to, like I said, just to provide for the family, but you need to provide spiritually. Ephesians 5:23, I won't have you turn there, but it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. So look, a lot of people in this day and age are like, we need to have a 50-50 marriage, you know. Both parties work. Both parties come home. Both parties have chores. And you know what that does? It just causes confusion in the home. You know, everybody should have their own role at home. You know, when you get home, dads, from going to work, you know, your wife should be able to stay home, by the way. You know, and if it's all at all possible, you should have your wife stay home. Hey, have a little bit of faith in your life. You know, have a little bit of faith in your life and let your wife stay home. And God's going to bless you for it. Is it hard? Yes, it can get hard. But you know what? That's what God's will is for your lives. And, you know, he wants us to be spiritual. And look, 50-50 relationships is a two-headed freaky monster, right? Where you get home and it's your turn to do the dishes. No, it's always your turn to do the dishes. It's my turn to go out and go to work and bring home the bacon. Now, obviously, men can do things nice for their wives. And, you know, go rinse your dish off, you filthy animal. You know, it's not going to kill you to rinse a dish from time to time. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't do anything. I have to do, you know. But we can go rinse a dish, you know. Get up and rinse your dish off, guys. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I guess you're the boss. So whatever rule you make is your own rule. So let's see. Turn to 1 Timothy 5:8. So look, we can't have 50-50 relationships. Someone's got to be the boss in the home, all right? And that's just all there is to it. And look, the Bible teaches that it's the husband, it's the man that's the head of the household. Goodman is the male, you know, leader of the home, okay? So look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And, you know, I talked about it's not just about providing for your family, you know, monetarily, but it is. That is part of your role. That is part of your role, is to take care of your family, to make sure the rent's paid, to make sure you have food on the table, to make sure they have clothes on their back, to make sure that, you know, there's, you know, food, whatever. A roof and food on the table and all that good stuff, right? So look at the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So look, don't sit here and tell me you're spiritual when your power's shut off. Oh, I just want to be spiritual. Well, you're not spiritual when you're worse than an infidel because your power got shut off at your house. Okay? That's not spiritual. If you're homeless and you're like, well, you know, I'm just trying to follow Jesus. He was homeless too. No, no. Jesus wants you to provide for your house, men. Amen. He wants you to provide for your house. All the bills, pay all the bills, do all that stuff. And look, you don't have to be rich to do all that kind of stuff. You know, it's more financially hard to live in Vancouver, Washington than it is in Sacramento, California. I just got the newest stats, all right? It's true. So the market for housing is 38% higher in Vancouver, Washington than it is for Sacramento, California. And people in Sacramento make 8% more than people that live in Vancouver, Washington. So don't whine to me about California. Come up and try to live in Vancouver, Washington. All the prices have gone up for the houses. All these California people, you just need to stay here. Okay, quit trying to move up and take over all the houses up there. All right? I'm kidding. But anyway, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. And look, it's not just your job, men, to provide for your house monetarily. You know, God wants you to provide for your house monetarily, but he also wants you to work as hard as you can, okay? We're not trying to get any get-rich-quick schemes in this church, hopefully. Look, don't be dumb about things. Make sure that you have a trade or some kind of skill, or you go to school to learn something to do to provide for your home. But doing like, you know, Shaklee diet pills and what are some other things like buying and selling gold, you know, and look, there's some legitimacy to that, okay? I'm talking about the scam things, the multi-level marketing things. Look, if you think that you're going to get and provide for your family on some kind of multi-level marketing thing, you're wrong. And maybe that one person in a million can do that, and they're the double, triple diamond person or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? What are some other ones? I can't remember what some other multi-level. Does anybody have anything? Huh? Amway. Yeah, that's the big one, right? So Amway, and there's a new one, right? It's where they have the sports drinks and all that stuff. Anyway, I can't remember what it is. But look, don't try to build your family dream off of some scam that someone's already made all the money off of, and you're just getting in on the bottom level. That's ridiculous. Go work a job. Hey, if you're not making the ends meet, just work harder, work more hours, because that's what's going to get you ahead. It's not going to be something where you don't have to work. Look, in all labor, there's profit. But if you're not laboring, you're not going to get any profit, okay? These people that are rich, they've worked hard to get rich. And look, but Christians are not supposed to labor to be rich. That's what the Bible teaches. You're in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So at your job that you work at, whatever your job is, you're supposed to do it as heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You might have the cruddiest boss in the world, but you know what? Do it. Work like you're working for Jesus. You know, just forget whatever the company is that you're working for and just put, I work for Jesus. And then when you do that, work hard for him. And you know what God's going to, you know, you, if you seek the kingdom of heaven first, you seek the kingdom of God first, God, Jesus already said he's going to add all these things unto you. So God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of the things you need. But you know what? You still need to work hard. You know, God doesn't say, well, just do all these multi-level marketing things as unto the Lord. No, it's work hard. That's what he wants you to do. All right? And also, as being a good man of the house, you need to learn to not lead your own house into sin. You know, you don't want to lead your house into sin. You want to lead them into the good things of the Lord and be spiritual, but don't lead them into sin. Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You shouldn't be putting things in your house or watching things in your house that it's going to cause your family members to sin, including yourself. You know, because, you know, that should be just a simple thing to tell you, right? It's something that we should just already know. But you know what? A lot of people still have all their Disney movies in their house that they're still watching. I don't know. I'm looking up. I don't know who in here still watches all the Disney movies or whatever. But I'm just saying that don't cause your family to sin. Don't bring stuff into your house that's going to let your family fall into sin. Psalm chapter 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And so you shouldn't bring things and set. It says set them. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So usually people, when they are watching something wicked or doing something wicked, they're setting it there themselves. And so we can't be as Christian, as good men of the house, we can't be the ones that are bringing that stuff into our home. Psalm 119, 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So every false way, God hates it. So should you bring it into your house if it's a false way? Absolutely not. You know, it's a tremendous responsibility to be the head of the home, and it's very rewarding, though, when you do it God's way. You know, my kids have grown up, and they're doing pretty good. Are they perfect? You've seen Josh, right? You met Josh. They're not perfect. I always pick on Josh. I'm sorry, Josh. But, you know, my kids aren't perfect, but I'll tell you what, I raise them in the Lord. They're still in church. I don't have to drag them to church every single week. They go to church on their own. They have their own families. They have their own things going on. But you know what? They still show up for church every single service. And so, you know, I'm not saying I'm a perfect parent. But, you know, I know what's important And I knew it was important to do with my family. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I raised my kids the way I did. I'm glad that I raised them in church. I'm glad that I made it a priority to do those things. So number one was be a good man. And so with that being spiritual, working hard, taking care of your family, leading your family in the right way, not leading them into sin. Number two, as the head of the household, you need to watch. You need to watch what's going on in your home. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 43, it says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched." Isn't that true? If you knew someone was going to break into your house, wouldn't you have watched? Right? Wouldn't you have been paying attention? Nobody likes it. I've had my house robbed before a long time ago. It's a terrifying feeling, knowing that someone was just in there just grabbing all your stuff. And it's not a fun feeling. You know, it hurts. Has anybody ever had their house robbed before? You can raise your hand on that one. Yeah, it's not cool. It's not fun. And I guarantee you, you you look back and you're like, man, I wish I would have just put like one of those sticks in the window, or I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have had an alarm or something like that. I wished I would have been watching and paying attention. But, you know, as the head of the house, you need to watch, man. You need to watch what's going on, not just looking for thieves to come break in your house, but things that come into your house via your family members, via your wife, via your kids, whatever, whoever they're hanging out with. You need to watch every single aspect of your home and pay attention. Be diligent. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6. We need to watch out for them spiritually. As the head of the house, we need to watch out for them, our children, our wife, our family members, spiritually. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6 says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." If your kids are doing something and you know it's wicked and you don't say anything, you know what? God's going to require that at your hand too. As the head of the household, you need to be on guard for what your kids are doing and what your wife is doing. Ezekiel 33, verse 7 says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watch unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." As the head of the house, guess what? You're the priest of the house, believers. You're the priest. You're the priest of your home. And you know what? If you're reading the Bible like you should be, you're supposed to be warning your family, hey, don't do that. You know, don't watch that. Don't go there. Don't hang out with that person. That's your job. And so, and obviously, mothers would be the same thing. But we need to watch our children and warn them of the things that they're falling into that might not be spiritual. Now, of course, I have one teenager left in the house, right? And so my battles might be different than your battles. Your battles might be going to Walmart and watching them scream as you don't buy them everything they want or something. I don't know. I mean, I've been there. I remember those days. But, you know, watch your wife. Watch your children. Watch for them. I'm not saying like watch them like you're in the FBI and put cameras all over the house for them or something like that, okay? But watch their associations and their friendships. Because look, you don't want your wife to get mixed up with somebody that's like the church gossip or the person that's trying to corrupt you into doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You know, how about old friends? You know, old friends that are unsaved. You know, you really don't have any business having friendships like that. Obviously, you still love them, you still care about them, you still want them to be saved, you want them to get the gospel. But for your wife to have a best friend that's not saved and she's just palling around with her all the time, guess what? That's a wrong thing to do. You got to watch what your wife is doing. You got to watch the friends that your children have. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. See, because who you hang around with is going to influence you. You think you're influencing them if they're unsaved, but guess what? They're influencing you. And you don't want to be influenced in a wrong way, and you definitely don't want your wife to be influenced in a wrong way. You don't want your children to be influenced in a wrong way. So you have to watch those relationships. As the head of the house, it's your responsibility to make sure that they're not hanging around people that they shouldn't be hanging around. Isn't it? Are you the boss or not? Are you just going to let everything go? You don't let your kids hang around with the worst kid in church? You think that your kid hanging out with the worst kid in church is the best thing for your kid? And look, I hope there's no bad kids in here. I hope they're all good kids. And I hope that every kid in here is a good influence. You know, and you should be. You're in the house of God. This is where your church family are. And kids, you need to behave and be a good influence to other kids around you. Don't be like, oh, my mom and dad just dragged me here. I'm just going to be bad. I'm going to rebel. That's wicked. Kids, don't be that kid. But 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Hey, look, if you think that you're just going to hang around someone that has evil communications coming out of their mouth, saying all kinds of wicked things, it's going to corrupt your good manners. It's going to corrupt your children's good manners. They're going to come home with this garbage, kind of like, where'd you hear that from? Oh, my friend. That friend might need to be cut out of your life or their life, right? So turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. I'm going to read for you in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. In Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God doesn't want us just hanging out with the ungodly. I mean, people think, well, how are you going to, you know, Jesus hung around with the sinners. Yeah, he hung around with the sinners to get them saved. Okay? He wasn't just, you know, going to the bars and drinking beers with them and shooting the breeze and telling dirty jokes. He was out there just trying to get people saved. And you know what? When to get someone saved, guess what? You have to talk to them. Guess what? You have to hang around with them sometimes. But he wasn't just, they were his, what was his inner circle? His inner circle was the apostles. And guess what? They were all saved except for Judas. So, but you're in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what fools are in the Bible? They're unsaved people. And a lot of times they're reprobate unsaved people. But look, as a wise man, don't walk with fools. Because guess what? You're going to be destroyed. And you know what, as a spiritual man and the head of your house, don't let your kids just hang out with every unsaved little heathen. They're going to influence your kids. They're going to get your kids watching stuff that they shouldn't be watching, listening to music that they shouldn't be listening to. Look, worldly music in our churches is a big deal. It's something that all people have a hard time with. Because every song that you listen to, guess what? It gets put into your little memory bank and it can play back exactly the way you heard it. Have you ever got up and took a shower or something and like you're just all of a sudden you're some song from 20 years ago is in your head? Why is that so? Because every music we listen to is influential to us. And there's songs that will pop up in my brain that like, why am I thinking about that song of all songs? And it's some wicked song. You know why? Because that had an influence on my brain someday, and we just retain music like you know, crazy. So, but as Christians, you know, I know that Christians fall back into this. I know they do. I know that Christians fall back into watching stuff they shouldn't be watching. I know they do. But you know what? You got to get yourself, you got to put yourself in check and just realize, hey, what I'm doing is wrong. I need to stop doing that. And you know what? All that stuff is going to influence your house, your kids. Don't let your kids hang around other people that are going to be a bad influence on them. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, he that, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So as you think in your heart, you're going to be that person. So guess what? If you think you're a gangster, you're going to try to be that person, aren't you? You know, you're just like some Christian kid and all of a sudden you're hanging out with a bunch of gangster kids, you're going to think you're a gangster. And guess what? You're not a gangster. You're just a goofball. You're not down with the set, homie, or whatever. All right? You know, whatever you think you are, and that the people that you're with are going to influence you to do things and you're going to become them. Have you been around a person that like it was a new friend or something and you notice that you start talking the same that they do? You just can't help it. If I go down to Texas, it's over. It's bad, all right? I start talking like I'm from Texas or something. Like, what am I doing? But that's just because the influence of people around you. And so you want to have good influences in your life is what I'm saying. You want your children to have good friends that you can trust. And, you know, everybody does bad, okay? We all sin. I understand that. But there's kids that you know that your kids shouldn't be hanging around with. And, you know, obviously the gang leader down the block is not the person. You know, oh, I'm just trying to get him saved. No, that's not what's going to happen. He's going to influence your life. And then next thing you're doing drive-by shootings, right? I'm just kidding. But hopefully not. I mean, but it is important who we hang around, okay? And think about family relationships. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Family relationships, these can be the ones that are the most destructive for your family. As someone that's watching what's going on in your family, hey, if you would have watched, you wouldn't have suffered your house to be broken up. So family relationships, you're like, well, it's just grandma. It's just grandpa. It's just, look, if grandma and grandpa are God-hating atheists, I would not leave my kid over there to spend the night. I'm just saying. Would you? I mean, think about that. They hate God. And I'm not saying this is every family member, okay? But if they hate God, why would you let your kids stay the night with them? There's no way. You know, when you get saved, something changes, and you start getting into church, you start reading your Bible, you start praying, you start going to church and listening to sermons, and things change in your life. But yeah, you're going to hang around with the same old people. And look, family divisions happen naturally, okay? Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. It says, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but what's it say there? But a sword. This is Jesus talking. Okay? He said, For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What's Jesus saying right here? There's got to be a division. And hey, a lot of the times the division comes from them. I'm not saying, you know, just throw your family down the toilet or whatever. I'm just saying that once you start, you know, growing as a Christian, you start changing. Your desires are going to change, okay? And their desires are going to stay the same. They're going to try to save you from the cult that you're in, right? And they think that they know best. I had just heard the news that a friend of mine hung himself on when I got in. A friend that I went to high school with hung himself. You know why he hung himself? He had no hope. You know, I loved him as a friend, but, you know, there came a time when I just had to separate myself from him. And, you know, I separated myself from him because I knew what he was into. But, you know, and then even as Facebook friends, I had to separate myself from him. Because when people are sitting there saying blasphemous things to you on Facebook, you need to, it's time to cut the ties now, all right? But, you know, was I sad to hear the news? Absolutely I was. But do you think I never tried to reach out to him? You know I tried to reach out to him. And now look where he's at. But it's sad. But, you know, we have to make a division. And this is talking about family, okay? Mothers, dads, mother-in-laws. That's not too crazy. That happens a lot. But father, son, children are going to rise up and have their parents put to death in the last days. Look, we got to be careful who we're allowing our family to be around. If your unsaved relative is telling your wife how to be a good wife, that's probably not a good conversation that's happening. You know, well, you need to leave him. He's a dirtbag and he's this and he's that. You know, I can't believe he spanks the kids. Hey, you need to spank the kids. Kids need to be spanked. So I'm just saying that there's family relationships that we need to cut ties with. And I'm not saying hate them, be mean to them all the time. I'm just saying that letting your kids stay with them, spending lots of time with them, is probably not a good thing. So, you know, and so we also need to watch their decisions. We need to watch our family's decisions and the decisions that our family members make. Look, you know, in the Bible, a man could say, you know, in the Old Testament, a man could say, nope, you're not doing that. Like someone would make a vow, and the dad could say, nope, I'm disallowing that. And that was, And God, you know, they could make a vow to God, but the husband could say, nope, that's not, I'm not letting you vow that vow. Or to the daughter also. So we got to understand we're the ones that make the decisions in the house. It's not a voting deal where the kids, you know, all seven kids are voting against dad to find out what we're watching on TV tonight. Okay, that's not, we don't vote in church most of the time. No, we don't vote in church and we don't vote at home. The dad is supposed to make the rules. The husband is supposed to make the rules. And turn to Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So, I mean, I'm talking to men here, but I'm also talking to the ladies, all right? Because in America, in 2020, you know, men, I can sit here and say, yeah, men, yeah, make all the decisions, you're the boss and this and that, but hey, if the wives don't listen, I mean, what's the husband supposed to do about it? It's like you can't pick them up and make them do what you want them to do. But wives, you should listen to your husbands. You should, it says obey, doesn't it? Or submit, excuse me. It says submit. That means what he asks you to do, that's what you do. As unto the Lord. So God's saying, hey, if your husband asks you to do something, you might as well take it as if the Lord's saying it to you. Now, obviously, you know, if he's like, okay, I want you to go rob this convenience store. You know, I'm kind of short on money this month. You know, obviously, we're not going to break God's commandments. You know, if your husband asks you to break God's commandments, don't do that. But has anybody in here been asked to break the commandments? You will go kill that person. I told you to go kill that person. You know, I mean, come on. I'm sure it does happen, but, you know, I've never seen it. So, anyway, but the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in some things, whatever they feel like doing. Is that what it says? You know, wives be to their own husbands in a lot of the things, but not everything. Is that what it says? Look down. What does it say? In everything. All right? And so it also says this, though. So here's, I'm going to get back on the husbands here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll tell you this, your wives might respect you a little bit more if you're a little bit more loving. Anybody that's been married for a period of time, if you just keep hitting your head against the wall over the same issues, you need to change something. You know, and sometimes, and I'm not excusing wives for not obeying their husbands because their husband isn't super loving. But look, loving someone is caring for them, showing them that you care for them, talking with them sometimes. You know, I know that's pretty hard to do. Like, when your wives want to talk to you every once in a while? Did you know that? You know, but sometimes men don't feel like talking. I understand. I'm a man. I understand that. Okay? But, you know, sometimes they do want to talk to you. And you shouldn't be just a robot all the time that just, you know, you just clock in, clock out. I went to work today. I'm done for the day. While your wife is still working like an 18-hour day with the kids. They've been puking all day and, you know, just things have been going crazy. You're like, honey, come take my boots off, all right? It's just like, guys can get ridiculous with this stuff, all right? But my wife is my helpmeet, you know? Sometimes she does come over and take my boots off when I get off work. She comes, she sees my face and knows what kind of day I've had just by when I walk in the door. But I'm just saying, look, guys, be loving to your wives. And, you know, maybe they'd be a little bit more respectful to you also. Because they do, you know, this is a relationship that you're in. It's a marriage that you're in. It's not, you know, like your roommates or something, okay? So, and also, you need to watch out for your family's physical safety. Their physical safety. So, I would say this. Buy a gun. Have a dog. Be ready to protect your family, men. That's part of your duty, too. Christ gave himself for the church, right? So what, you wouldn't give yourself for your family? I always say this scenario, like, if someone walked and knocked on my door and they held a gun to my face and said, is there anybody else inside? What would my answer be? No. Is that a lie? Yeah, Rahab the harlot lied too when she was protecting God's people. I'm just saying, you should be ready to do whatever you got to do to protect your family. I would never tell, oh yeah, my wife's in the first bedroom upstairs, kids are, you know, they're sleeping in the bunk beds in this room. I mean, that would be dumb, right? So we got to protect our families. And, you know, we got to be manly. If they see you wearing skinny jeans and, you know, a pink sweatshirt when they walk in, it's over for your family. Unless you are well-trained in jujitsu and have a gun sitting next to your family. But that's just like an invitation to rob your house, right? They see some skinny jean dude like walking, or some guy with his pants are pulled all the way down. Have you ever seen these guys with the pants that are pulled down? It's pretty weird, right? It's like, what are you going to get away from? I mean, when you got to start running, you got to just hold your belt while you're running. Is that what you do? I don't know. It's pretty weird. The only time you're going to see my pants falling down is if I forgot to wear a belt that day. My pants are never going to be sagged down like that. I don't understand that. But anyway, so yeah, we need to protect our physical safety. So number one was be a good man, be spiritual, provide, be a good leader. Number two, as the head of the house, you need to watch your family's associations, their safety, their relationships. And number three tonight is don't suffer or allow your house to be broken up. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 24, verse number 43. Matthew 24, verse number 43, the Bible says, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So that word suffered in the King James Bible means allowed right there. So it's not like someone was suffering, you know, but it says would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You wouldn't allow that to happen. If you would have been watching, if the good man would have been watching, if he would have been paying attention, if he would have been a good leader, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So, you know, and the thing is that some men just don't get it. They keep making the same mistakes over and over again, and their wife is at the last end of the thread of her patience with them, and, like, they just don't seem to be able to get it. They don't seem to be able to just not allow their house to be broken up. I mean, the hardest thing that I have to deal with as a pastor, and the most devastating thing I have to deal with as a pastor, is divorce. Divorce is wicked. God hates it. God doesn't like it. But like it or not, it happens 50% of the time of marriages. You know, and it's hard for me. I get situations, I get scenarios. You know what we believe at this church? Well, I know what Pastor Menz believes. I'm sorry, I'm not the pastor here. But what pastor believes is that you don't get divorced and remarried. Okay? I know that for a fact, so I can emphatically say that. I don't believe that either. Because Jesus didn't teach that, did he? He said if you divorce and marry another, you've committed adultery. All right? So at churches like ours, we don't believe that. But then I'll have some 24-year-old person that married the wrong person and then have to watch them suffer. You know, and what I have to tell them is the truth. Hey, you should have picked somebody better. You should have picked somebody different. You shouldn't have been so hasty to pick some loser to be the head of your household. So what can I tell you, teens? What can I tell you, kids in here? I'll tell you what, you better check them out. Make sure that they're golden, okay? Make sure that that man's a hard worker. Make sure that he's not some cheater that's going to go out and cheat on you. It's hard. It's hard today for me as a pastor to deal with divorce issues, because it's heartbreaking to me to see a young person who made a mistake and married some reprobate. And I've dealt with some weird situations where it's just like, I don't, you know, it's hard. But what do I have to say? What do I have to say? I have to say what the Bible says every single time. I can't make exceptions for that. But what, you know, women out here, girls, young girls or whatever, teenagers, make sure that you're picking the right person. If they're not working hard, if they're spending more time in the mirror than you are, you got a problem. You know how much time I spend in the mirror? That's it. I'm done. My hair is messed up, so I got to put a little bit of gel in it. But like when I sleep, I wake up and there's like forks sticking up and look, the roosters are trying to, you know, lay eggs in my hair and stuff. I got to do something to make up for that. But I'm not sitting there shaping my eyebrows. okay? I'm not sitting there like just, you know, putting all kinds of, you know, oils and stuff in my beard and just, you know, shaping my beard. I don't do that stuff because, you know, that's effeminate. It's effeminate. So if your boyfriend to be or your husband to be is spending more time in the mirror than you are, you might want to X him off the list. If your soon to be husband and can't hold down a job, if they don't have a job, don't even marry him. How about that? Well, I'm between jobs. Well, if you can't support the household, then what are you doing trying to get married? You know, it's ridiculous. So where was I at here? Let's see. Yeah, so men just, you know, a lot of times they just don't get it. And look, ladies aren't getting it either. Just because he's good looking and handsome and he shapes his eyebrows doesn't mean you should marry him, okay? That is just weird. I'm sorry. I'll overstep my bounds here, Pastor. I'm sorry about the shaping of eyebrows. It's not in the Bible. Anyway, so, you know, hey, look, if a guy doesn't have a spiritual bone in his body, what are you doing marrying him, Christian lady? What are you doing marrying a man that doesn't even want to go to church? And you know what? The only reason why he comes to church is just so that he can, you know, marry you someday. But guess what? He's going to be the head of the household, and guess what? He can just say, you know what? I'm done with church. That happens all the time. And if you're like, well, you know, he's a Christian. He's an Episcopalian. Look, don't be unequally yoked. You want to make sure that they believe the same thing you do. And they'll just make it up in your mind. Oh, yeah, they believe it. Yeah, they're saved. But, you know, they don't go to church. They don't do this. And obviously people can be saved without going to church. I get that. But I'm just saying, if they're not spiritual, what are you doing trying to marry them? Men, same thing. If the lady you're trying to marry isn't spiritual, why are you trying to marry them? So you have to drag them to church every time. And they never want to come. They never want to be part of what you're part of. Look, those relationships are hard. And obviously some people get saved when they're already married and the other one doesn't want to be saved or whatever. There's all kinds of different scenarios. But I'm just saying this. You have a choice to make when you get married. And it's your choice. No one puts a gun to your head and say, you will marry him right now. Nobody does that. Everybody makes their own choice. Don't be pressured to marry a loser. Don't be pressured to marry some unspiritual person. You know, don't be pressured to marry some guy that doesn't have a work ethic, you know, and that care about themselves more than they care about their family. You know, it's just ridiculous. Don't do it. Don't make a mistake that's going to cost you the rest of your life. Because, you know, what people are going to do, they're going to get remarried anyway. And then they're going to ruin their lives even worse. But divorce destroys families. What am I talking about tonight? If you can get one thing out of this sermon tonight, get this. I don't want your home to become a dysfunctional home. And I don't want your children's home to become a dysfunctional home. I want God's people to have functional homes, functional marriages, functional roles, functional children, children that will get out and work, children that will obey their parents, wives that will submit themselves to their husbands, husbands that will love their wives. I want God's people to have great relationships and great households. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you tonight. And look, don't marry a loser, ladies. Don't worry. Don't marry some harlot, guys. Because you're just looking for trouble. Sometimes you might need to knock down the looks in your checklist a little bit more. I don't know. If you're looking for some supermodel and that's the only person you're going to marry, I guarantee you most of the time the supermodels are not spiritual. I mean, because they're on the cover of magazines showing their nakedness, right? I mean, supermodels aren't exactly Christians of the year, okay? So, anyway, what if you tonight are one of these people that are, you're going through some problems at home? You know, you're having problems fulfilling your role. You know what? The great thing about God is that he's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And you know what? God's ready to, you know, help you. You don't have to do this on your own. Go to God. Just say, God, I'm failing. Help me to be the man I should be. God, I'm failing. Help me to be the wife I should be tonight. God, I'm failing. Help me to obey my parents. Some kids, you know what? I don't let kids off the hook. You know, you're full of rebellion. I get it. But the Bible says you're supposed to obey your parents. That's it. Do it. Don't sass them. You know, your dad, you know, there's a lot of pressure we put on a man to do all. You know, wives, they have a hard job. I get that. But men don't get enough credit when they are being a good man, I feel like. You know, and sometimes they need to get a little bit of credit too. You know, the last thing that you want to have your dad or your husband walk through the door and everything's like a total train wreck when you walk in. Obviously, moms have bad days too. But if it's every day, you come home, you've worked 10 hours, and you walk in, there's no dinner cooked, the kids are screaming and crying and being brats, and you're like, do you know what Johnny did? He did this, this, and this, and this. You need to spank him right now! If you have to come home to that every single night, that's not good on them. That's bad on mom. That's bad on the kids. You know, but ultimately, guess who's the responsibility rests on? These shoulders right here. Because somewhere you've let things slip. And see, that's the thing that, you know, that I always say, well, my wife can say, well, I'll ask my husband. You know, she's already got somebody to defer to. You know who I got to defer to? God and myself. That's it. And so if I make a decision, guess what? It's always going to be my fault. If I make a bad decision, it's always going to be my fault. But nobody wants to come home and, you know, the first thing they have to do is beat Junior every single day. Every once in a while, yeah, I get it. But mom, couldn't you just tan his hide good enough to make him be good when you got, you know, why does dad have to go through that? It's your responsibility. You're the dad. What, you don't have any responsibility? You can't spank him hard enough to get him to submit? Look, the family is a unit. And every part of that unit has to have their own role to play. So, you know, we don't want to have our houses broken up from weakness, slothfulness, apathy. Don't be apathetic either, men. Don't just stop caring. Oh, I just don't care. You should care. You should care how your house turns out. You should care how your children turn out, shouldn't you? Because guess what? They're going to be asking you for money for the rest of your life. Think about that. Dad, I need to be bailed out of jail again. Dad, I just can't afford to do anything because I never learned how to work as a kid. Dad, can I get some money? You know, this will be the last time I ask. I promise I'll pay you back. They're not going to pay you back, by the way. My kids never ask me to borrow money because they know I'm going to say no. Hey, get a job. All right. But look, don't be simple either, okay? Don't be simple. So men can be simple sometimes and just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And I'm just going to buzz through these because I know I'm running out of time here. But turn to turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. And look, men, we need to not be simple. Hey, if you're reading your Bible, you should be getting some knowledge. You should be getting some useful things in your, you know, in your brain to help you lead your families right, okay? Same thing with everybody else. But look, simple people, if they never get any knowledge, if they never get any wisdom, they're always going to stay simple. Look at, you're in Proverbs 1:4. Is that where I had you turn? I'm going to read Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Can a simple person become wise? What does simple even mean? Simple means a low or abnormally low intelligence. You're simple. But you know what? God can make you wise. God can make you smart. God can make you knowledgeable. Look at where you're turned to in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." But you know what? You're never going to get it if you never crack this book open. If the only time you ever crack the Bible open is when Pastor Jimenez is preaching, then you aren't going to get enough knowledge. And everything that you don't put into practice that you hear from preaching is going to leave your brain. And so we need to learn to be wise, men. We need to, if you're going to be a goodman of the house, you need to get some wisdom out of this book. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:22, it says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge." How long, ye simple ones? You know, if you want to stay simple, you're going to stay simple. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. I'm going to read for you Proverbs 14, verse 15. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." So the simple believe everything. Guess what? I got this thing that you're going to make millions of dollars. You're going to get 500% back on your investment. Hey, take out an investment and invest with me, and I'm going to make you rich. You don't even have to do anything. Oh, okay. That's being simple, isn't it? Where did I have you turn? Proverbs 1:32, is that where it was? "For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." The turning away of the simple. And hey, if you're easily turned away by stuff like that, then you need to get some smarts. You need to get some wisdom. What's the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." You don't have to stay simple. You can get wisdom. You can get knowledge. And you know what? You can get it with all and get it with all your understanding. You don't have to stay simple. You know? Don't be, you know, there's, you know, people think, "Oh, I'm just a simple man, you know." Well, you're just calling yourself an idiot, okay? That's what you're doing. I just want to be a simple man. I don't want to be a simple man. I want to be a smart guy. I want to be wise. And look, I'm not talking about algebra. I'm talking about in God's word. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Hey, you want to be successful? Put your face in this book every morning and every night, and you know what? You're going to get some smarts. Amen. You're not going to be simple. And you're going to have good success. You want to be successful? Get successful in this book. Get success from God. It's not going to be from some stupid get-rich-quick scheme. You know what? God is going to give you everything you need. We got unlimited resources in heaven. God is the richest being ever. He owns everything, right? And guess what? We have rewards and riches in heaven. Why do you need to build some kind of a kingdom here? And all that stuff's going to be thrown in the garbage when you die. All the little teacups that you collected, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's cool, whatever. But guess what? Nobody care. Your kids aren't going to care about it. Look, they don't care about your tea sets. They're going to go, "Oh, in the garbage." And you're going to be in heaven going, "I can't believe they threw out my tea set." No, they probably wouldn't, but they're like, "I should have never collected that tea set." That's what they'd really say. Two last things, and I'll be done. Husbands, spend time with your wife. Spend time with your wife, okay? You want to have a good marriage? Spend some time. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you can turn there. I'm going to read it for you. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. But first, I'll read 1 Peter 3:7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." When you dwell with someone, you're living with them, right? "Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Hey, you got to learn to dwell with your... You know what? I was talking about this earlier, but guess what, husbands? Your wives want you to talk to them. They want you to spend time with them. If you get home and you're going right to the car project in the garage, you're missing out on your life with your wife. You're missing out on your life with your kids. And all you're doing is just being a workaholic. And guess what? None of that matters in eternity. And you're going to be sorry when your kids are out of your house and you realize all the time that you wasted, that you could have spent with your kids, that you could have spent with your wife. and you're going to be sad about it. Because you know what? We're not married forever. We're married here till death do us part. And you got married, and God honors that marriage. He wants you to stay married. He wants you to have a good relationship. So you need to learn how to dwell with your wives with knowledge. And if you just completely ignore them all the time, you're like, they're talking, you know, and you're just like, Has anybody ever done that before? Don't raise your hand. They're like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. And guess what? You'll never believe. But you know what? Just listen to them. They want you to listen. They want to talk. And you know what? That's not always our best thing that we do. Sometimes I want to be in my cave and just be left alone. And she, you know, they recognize that too. Like, obviously, he just needs to spend some time alone, right? But it shouldn't be all the time. We need to spend time with our families. If you don't want your house to be broken up, you know, you need to watch. You know, you need to be a good man. You need to be a spiritual man. But, you know, if you don't want your house to be broken up, spend some time with your family. Spend some time with your kids. Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not just yelling at them. It's not just spanking them. The Bible says to nurture them. That means take care of them, right? Be gentle with them. Obviously we have to be a little bit rough sometimes because we're the man, yeah, right? But we also should have a balance in our lives. Okay, you can't just work all the time and not spend time with your family and expect that your family is going to be right. It's not going to happen. Eventually, they're going to want some attention from somebody else. Am I excusing that? No. But you know what? It's not right. You need to spend some time with your family. And we need men to step up and be good in their houses. We need men that want to lead. There's too many weaklings in this world now. You know why I brought up the person with skinny jeans and a pink sweater? Because that's what I see everywhere. And their long, effeminate hair. It's like, dude, what happened? What led you to this place where you want to dress like a skinny jeans little queer boy? That's weird. Well, pink's in style. Not in my house, it's not. It's been style with my wife. It's okay for that, but I'm not going to wear pink Nikes. I'm not going to wear pink clothes. Do you see pink anywhere on me right now? Is there any pink on me that you can see? Maybe the back bald spot on my head. That's it. All right? But we need some men to step up, provide for their families. We need men that will have big spiritual shoulders and carry their families through these hard times. And you know what? We were in Matthew chapter 24, and guess what? There's families all the way till the end. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the day when the Son of Man cometh, right? So there's going to be families, and we need to lead our families. We don't know when the end times are going to start, just like Pastor was preaching about this morning. But you know what? We know what we need to do to take them in through the end. And the Bible is very clear about it. And you know what? We need to have strong families, strong children, strong husbands, strong wives. But the men, we need to carry the load. We need to be the boss of our homes. But you know what? The thing is, this is the last verse I'll have you turn to, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew 11, verse 29. We have someone to help us, men. That's the great thing about being a Christian, is that we don't have to do it all alone. I'm so glad that I'm an unsaved person that has to bear all this load on myself. I don't understand, you know, we knock all these doors and they're just like, not interested, not interested, not interested. And you just know their life is probably miserable. What hope do you have? I'm glad I'm a Christian man. I'm glad I have a Christian family. I don't even know what I'd be doing without being a Christian. But you know what? God expects a lot out of us men. But you know, he's going to help us through it. Look at verse number 29, Matthew chapter 11. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We got a Savior that can carry the load for us. And hey, when things are getting hard, guess what? We can call out to that Savior and we can say, help me, Lord. help me, I'm failing. What do I need to do? And you know, God's going to help you. He's going to help us carry the spiritual burden that we have. And His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And He's going to come along. So, you know what this is? This is like a yoke for oxen. And He's going to come up and He's going to bear the load for us. And that's great that we have, as Christian husbands and Christian men, we have the Savior that's going to come up beside us and help us out. And, you know, I'm done. But it's very important. This topic is very important today because, look, let's just face it. The skinny jeans people are starting to take over. But in this church, in my church, in churches like our church, we need to be men. And, like, we all need to fulfill our roles in our homes. And like I said, even if you're a single lady, Christ can be the head of your home also. And you can look to Him for support. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, so much. God, I pray that You just help us. Help us to understand how important it is to have heads of households, Lord, that are men. And Lord, that we would just break the cycle of dysfunction in this world, at least in our churches, Lord. And help us to have great families that we could see generations of our grandchildren grow up and be nurtured also in the ways of the Lord. And also that we could see our great-grandchildren saved just like we are. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us to have strong families. Pray that You'd bless this church, Lord. We thank You so much for the opportunity to preach tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.